And we're back, and it's the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. And by golly, this time we have Dr. Frank Goldsmith. He is a coordinator of the World Federation of Trade Unions in North America, and he is also the director of occupational health and for the Transit Workers Union, Local 100. Are you there, Dr. Goldsmith?
Yes.
And you don't mind if I call you Frank?
No, go ahead.
We're very anxious to hear about this is a matter that actually should be on everybody's agenda. The World Federation of Trade Union is a major group. It was formed, in my understanding, in 1945. I'll let you tell the story. But at one time, there was a worldwide trade union movement. Tell us what it was and what is now becoming.
Okay, well, in 1945, a couple things happened. A lot of things happened. We won the war, and there was great unity around the world among the workers and trade unionists, not so much among the corporate people. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as you know, in our country and in Europe, they were on both sides of the fence. Many of them, like this Volkswagen and General Electric, was on both sides. So
yes,
you're not talking about unity for peace among the capitalists.
Mm-hmm.
Among the unions, yes, to some extent. So the World Federation of Trade Unions actually had one of its first meetings in San Francisco. Then it went to Europe. And another thing happened at the same time was United Nations was reformed, and the World Federation of Trade Unions became one of the first, what they're now called NGOs, at the United Nations. Uh-huh. So I currently also serve as the permanent representative to the United Nations from the World Federation of Trade Unions, and we're uh-huh. actively involved with the 2,300 NGOs who uh-huh. are officially affiliated with the United Nations, and I served on the executive committee for 8 years at the United Nations representing the WFTU. Mm-hmm. Now, getting back to your question on trade union unity, that lasted not too long, actually. It lasted until about 1947, 46, and oddly enough, it wasn't the emerging right-wing unionists in the United States who were benefiting off of the Cold War and McCarthyism. Oddly enough, it was the Trade Union Congress in Britain which withdrew from the World Federation of Trade Unions first.
Mm-hmm.
And after that came Walter Reuther, UAW, Cindy Hillman from the Clothing Workers Union, and they formed what's now known as the ITUC. And so that unity was split, and then, of course, we in all North America went through the McCarthy period. The United States went through it worse, through the anti-communism. So, mm-hmm. and in Europe had its version of it.
Mm-hmm.
But significant unions in Europe stayed on with the WFTU, namely the CGT in France, other trade unions in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
So that's basically why there's two World Federation of Trade Unions now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there are two World Trade Union Federations. There's the one, the ITUC, and the other one being the one I represent in North America, the World Federation of Trade Unions.
Yeah. By the way, there is a website, WFTUcentral.org. And by the way, it's a great site. I really urge everybody, particularly trade unionists, to go there. You know, Frank, our timing is, I guess, very timely in that we are experiencing what people are calling the new Cold War. And we are also at a time of really a difficulty for unions and a lot of question marks about what is wrong with the union movement in North America. And recently I could tell you that we had a speaker in Canada, Danny Glover, the actor, he was invited to speak at a Unifor meeting, I believe. He said what the union movement went off the rails at the time of Taft-Hartley and of the breaking of attacks on unions that basically were anti-capitalist unions, such as the World Federation of Trade Unions. That strikes me as pretty accurate history. What do you think?
Well, he said the correct thing. He was speaking to a union which has no relationship to us, unfortunately, and is fully involved with the ITC,
The
uniform, which is before the UAW. So, Taft-Hartley was the Cold War within the labor trade union movement. That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
And there's two visions of what a trade union should be, as Danny was probably referring to. One is to be a loyal opposition to employers.
A company union.
Well, it's a company union in one way, but it's a loyal opposition.
Yes.
You accept the nature of a corporation, mm-hmm. and you negotiate for the best deal you can get. And that's worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of foreign policy, it gets totally involved. But we don't do that. Mm-hmm. That isn't our viewpoint. We have a stronger viewpoint in terms of being independent, not being subservient to employers, even though our unions negotiate contracts around the world.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean we accept the status for what we are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they're two different views of the world.
Yeah.
And what it comes down to, Phil, as you can imagine, that if you take what we call class-oriented trade unionism and we present it in a fair place here in the States or in parts of Canada, the anti-communist stuff starts rolling off the tongues of the regular trade unions. They can't debate. It certainly cannot debate on substance. They refer back to the old method of trying to isolate. But those days are over because the trade union movement is in serious trouble everywhere. Everybody knows it.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, these organizing efforts, they just had a very embarrassing one for the UAW, got beaten badly. And watching it from here, I just had this impression that these are not inspired movements. These are not popular movements that really offer a new approach to the world, fighting like your union stands for fighting austerity, fighting capitalism, fighting imperialism. It's as if the people who are doing this, these big failed efforts, don't mention these things as though somehow that would harm them. And my guess is it might actually make it work.
Well, it's interesting, Phil, because oddly enough, there was an opportunity in 2009 to take a different road. And the Democrats, of course, were the ones that stopped that road. Now, I'm not blaming Obama. I'm blaming the DNC and the Democrat Party higher-ups, mm-hmm. who made the decisions. And that was the bailing out of the auto industry. You followed that closely, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
When massive amounts of money were thrown into the industry to bail it out, but there was no role for the trade unions in that. There was no role for the public in that. So it was all public money given to private ends, profit ends. So General Motors was bailed out, Ford was bailed out, parts of Chrysler were bailed out, but there was no public role to it.
Mm-hmm.
And there was nothing said from the unions, unfortunately, union leadership. I'm sure the membership had a different view of it. But they took this as just, oh, my God, thank God we're going to have an employer who's solvent who we can negotiate.
Yes.
Now, it just comes to my mind right now. We're fighting a big fight with diesel-driven cars and buses. And if you look at the ownership of Volkswagen, and the public stake that the German government has in Volkswagen, and you see a whole different way. And they have, you know, cooperative stuff, but it is at least not just giving money to a sinkhole, to companies which, like Ford and General Motors, which take the money and you know, as you know as well as I do, and build cars somewhere else, or demand that our members, our union members, UAW, accept half their wages, which they did, go from a defined benefit pension program to a full 401k, basically making them a certain, I won't use the word third world, making them second class citizens in their own companies. So yes, rather than taking a big step toward ownership of the companies, they did the opposite. They made it worse. And this is why, when you see there's no life in the labor movement, trade union movement, to organize, it's pretty hard to get workers, unorganized workers, to vote union if you're not voting for something which has real substance.
Yeah. Well, you're going to take a job and you're going to work alongside another guy, and you're going to be paid $10 or $15 less than him for 5 or 6 years.
More than that. It's permanent. It's permanent. It's not, it wasn't like in the airline industry back in the 80s where they went through a similar thing. And I know this firsthand now, that the worker unions accepted less for 10 years. Mm-hmm. After 10 years, they were restored to the wages that they were making before. Here, that's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. There'll be some increase, but not up to where it was. Anyway, so your answer to your question is, why is there no life? It's hard to instill life in unorganized workers with just a grievance procedure, which may or may not work, or a 401k pension program, in a health benefit program, which is going to cost you a fortune. Mm-hmm. So that's why we have a different view, mm-hmm. and it's a more class-oriented view. It's a working-class view.
Yes. Well,
and it's good.
I just want to say, we were speaking to Dr. Frank Goldsmith. He is the coordinator of the World Federation of Trade Unions North America. There is a website, wftucentral.org. And, you know, Frank, talking to you, We all know, I shouldn't say we all know, but those who've looked into it understand that the unions in America have had periods of great success and certainly great social impact, with some of the leaders becoming public figures, great ones like Eugene Debs, and they were talking what you're talking.
That's correct. Those people exist today, and yeah, they're coming up. It'll take a little while, but mm-hmm. they're coming up because they're not accepting the context that the current AFL-CIO is insisting on perpetrating. And we'll see what happens. We just had a very successful recruitment. I know it's hard for you to believe, but because of the anti-communism in the trade union movement over the last years, there has not been an affiliate of the WFTU since 1948
mm-hmm.
who comes from the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very similar to Canada also.
Yes.
I can't speak for Canada.
The doors are all locked here.
Same thing.
There are men on guard duty.
You're right. They'll invite someone in to speak, but they won't make the moves.
Exactly.
The Roofers Union, 600 workers in Los Angeles, California, under Cliff Smith, recently went through the steps and are now the first affiliate of WFTU since 1948.
Wow.
Now, because they're building trades are known, as you well know, for being highly independent. Sometimes it's very to the right-wing stuff, but that's not what this is. This is a left-wing union, a lot of Mexican workers, It's well-paid roofers union, it's a building trades union, and the executive board voted to join WFTU, and they are now full-fledged members of WFTU. They're still members of the Building Trades Council in Orange County in California. Cliffin's executive board goes to the meetings, meeting with great respect, because the building trades have lost so many members. And they're ready to get rid of Davis Bacon's prevailing wage, which will be a terrible thing to happen. So the patriarchs of the building trades, and hopefully the public workers, AFSCME, and manufacturing workers, turn their backs on this anti-communism stuff and start broadening the reason to join a union. It's just not to get a better benefit of a discount for a car. It can challenge the corporations themselves, and that's the only thing you can do to keep the interest. You got to merge the movements, which Danny Glover talked about, with the working class knowledge, which workers have. But then you have a real movement to challenge what's going on in the country. Does that make sense?
So,
hello?
Yes. So there are, by the way, you have... Oh, worldwide, you have 92 million members in 126 countries.
And you asked me.
Go ahead.
You had asked me about Syria, and I was to go to that meeting in Damascus, and it was an excellent meeting. It was. You should know that after 1991, when the socialist world collapsed, the WFTU was brought. Kept alive, basically, by the General Federation of Trade Unions of Syria, and the World Congress. World Congress was held twice there every 5 years. Then in 2005, the World Congress was held in Havana, Cuba, and in that meeting of Congress, they moved the headquarters. We moved the headquarters to Athens, Greece. And our last Congress was a year ago, and it was held in Durban, South Africa, where the COSATU, the Trade Union Federation, almost all unions affiliated to COSATU rejoined the WFTU. There's a whole new thing happening.
So there is. The American capitalist class has something to actually worry about. This is real.
Oh, they always worry. Phil, Communist, if there's one left-winger in the bargaining unit, who does the employer worry about? 99% who are psychophants? No. He or she worries about that one person who could bring some truth to what's really going on. You know, they worry a lot.
This is Frank Goldsmith, World Federation of Trade Unions, and there is the site, WFTUcentral.org. Frank, I think I mentioned that I might ask you about this. Is the World Federation of Trade Unions commenting about these talks, Mexico, Canada, and U.S.? Have anything about that?
Well, not directly, but because the World Federation is also involved in the trade deals in Europe. And all the different trade deals. Our position, of course, is we're not opposed to trade deals. You got to trade, but whose interests are they taking place? So obviously, if there's capitalist countries vying for power, whether it's in Canada, U.S., and Mexico, unions don't really. Workers have no say so in that. Basically, none. Nothing. Same as in Europe.
Yeah, my impression is they use them kind of like as for a decoration. They have them sitting at the end of the table, but they have no input, no power.
They're there. They're invited to observe, but not to participate. And that's really true. And they accept that position because they basically accept the position of loyal opposition. And they'll often be said, well, we don't know all the facts. Well, these guys who are making the deals don't know anything either. The president of our country, the United States, is a perfect example of a person who not knows, doesn't know nothing, but he's making deals. So, Phil, I do want to make the point that the other difference between our organization and ITUC is we're not an exclusive organization. We don't have one political line. For example, in India, there are two big left-wing federations in India. They both belong to the WFTU. Mm-hmm. In Russia, there are two trade unions affiliated to political parties in Russia. Both of them belong to WFTU. We have an open door, not a closed door. Mm-hmm. Same as in Africa, in wherever. Mm-hmm. We're very strong, for example, in Brazil, where the CTB has 9 million members, and I was just in the Congress there, which is they're consolidating their work there. And there's not going to be, in other generals in Brazil, there's not going to be a wholesale destruction of the trading movement in Brazil because of the CTB. Mm-hmm. Same as in Argentina, in Chile, in Venezuela, where we're very involved in solidarity with the Maduro government, mm-hmm. and Peru especially. So we have it's an amazing organization. Mm-hmm. And why we don't know about it, no one knows about it, because we don't have a press. Unless you get on the website, then you learn about it.
Yeah.
I do want to mention that there is a Friends, I'm not sure the address, Friends of WFTU in Canada. Mm-hmm. I'm not exactly sure what their address is, but there is there's no affiliate of WFTU mm-hmm. in Canada, but there is a Friends of WFTU in Canada.
Well, we will work to add to that, because this is, frankly, this is music to my ears, I got to tell you, because we really need to hear this approach to organizing workers. They have to be inspired, and they have to, somebody's got to tell them that somebody's going to do something about the people who really exploit them and expect them just to obey. And
well, I tell you,
class consciousness is reality as a society. And a lot of people who aren't even organized have really strong class consciousness, can't stand the 1% that own everything and expect them to jump rope for them.
Absolutely. For example, Cliff Smith, who is he's been a roofer in L.A. for 20 years. But for those three-quarters of those years, he was involved in the pro-immigrant movement. He was basically a revolutionary with the movement in L.A. Then he turned around and realized, wait a minute, I'm also with the trade union. Why don't we get the trade union to be involved in the same movement?
Yes.
And he talked to other members of the union, he's Anglo, who are mostly Mexican-American, and he ran for office and got 85% of the vote. And he really brought together his experience of movements, of people's movements, with the demands of workers who were in his situation, 600 Mexican workers. I'm not sure how many are citizens of that. That's the issue. But there's a real unity taking place between movements, for democratic movements, and the trade union movement. Mm-hmm. If the trade union movement lets them in.
Yeah.
And what happened in this situation, Cliff wasn't waiting around for an invitation. Cliff invited himself in, and now he's in the regular labor movement, but he's more importantly becoming a leader of North American WFTU.
Yeah.
And he's a well-steeled person for that role.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that your work is, as was already indicated, is just being consistently a class-oriented union, being anti-imperialist, solidarity with people around the world. To me, that's the magic formula. I think you got it. Your work right. I'm really glad to hear about the progress. Frank, I hope we can talk to you again sometime in the near future about all the upcoming events, and I hope people will go to the WFTU. Let me see if I got it here. This suddenly I can't find the address, but it's WFTU Central. Pardon me, that's the word I'm looking for. WFTUCentral.org. And it's great talking to you, Frank. Thank you very much.
If you're ever in Athens, Greece, they would love to host you.
All right. That's a good, you give me the best reason to go to Greece. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. Yes, the World Federation Trade Union is alive and well. By the way, they didn't throw out the big shot Western powers. The big shot Western powers went closed the door on them. I invite you to read their history. By the way, go to that site because the history is excellent labor history. It was the particularly the British trade unions that threw down the gauntlet and broke up the World Federation of Trade Unions in 1948-49. And the issue was they had to accept the Marshall Plan. This was the Western financiers and others had decided Marshall Plan. Well, if you were a member of a union who didn't think that was the greatest idea, and there were unions who said that, then the British-based unions and the Americans said, oh, we can't even – we won't cooperate with you. It's not like he just told us there are different points of view, so why don't we just go on down the road together and work out the differences? No, no, no. They said that's it. And then they moved to crush people. And who did they crush? Across North America, every young man or woman who resembled Eugene Debs or Mother Bloor and anybody like that, they said, get them. So what did you do? You cut the heart out of the unions. Cut the heart out. And then you expect the body to walk on? No, it's not going to work. Not going to happen. If the best, brightest, and most inspired people have to be driven out. Bringing me to Clancy Siegel, he was one of those that got driven out. 1948, he was organizing in Detroit. And they just said, Clancy, you're done. And because the FBI is on us and the AFL-CIO, I mean, we can't have you here anymore, Clancy. So I'm working on my hand signals. And I'm told, Phil, that it is time to go. This is Taylor Report. See you next week.